Yo, what's going on? My name's Jeff. This is the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. Got a quick one here for you on a Rankings Wednesday. Of course, rankings are updated over at FTNFantasy.com. You probably have checked out the site if you've listened to this podcast, but if you haven't, I don't know what you're waiting for. We have pretty much everything you need to make you a better fantasy player, a better DFS player across the board. We got you covered. Honestly, I've become a better player as a result. I've become better at DFS because of our site. And I've done okay in my time playing DFS, but just interacting with all of our tools, all of our content, and just the star-studded cast that we have on staff has made me so much better. So I highly recommend it across the board over at FTNFantasy.com. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. So we've had a few trades here in the last 24 hours. If you don't follow along with The Rant, that's my other podcast, you should, because I broke down the Davante Adams trade yesterday on that feed. I'm not going to get into too much of it here, though I do have a few things I want to say. I'm going to get into Amari Cooper today as well. We'll tie up some loose ends on some of the moving pieces in terms of injury here. But those will be the main things that I want to focus on. The Adams trade, the Cooper trade. I'll mention Cam Akers because I guess we have to. And I do want to talk about Russell Wilson. Let's get into Adams. So again, covered most of this yesterday, but a couple key things. First and foremost, Adams is going to play. Like, he's practicing in full. So probably wasn't as injured as maybe we initially thought when he first missed that very first week with the hamstring issue. Maybe he had a little bit of a tweak, but these guys are always dinged up. But it is amazing how flying across the country, getting traded, all of that, just healed that hamstring right up. Didn't even have to go over to Germany to visit with some weird doctor like Christian. It's not weird, whatever. I kid about Christian McCaffrey. But anyway, Adams is going to play. How much is he going to play? That's a different question entirely. I doubt he will be fully integrated into the offense in just a few days. I highly doubt that. But I also am confident that he will have enough that we could see him for half the game, if not more. And let's be honest, like, he's worked with Aaron Rodgers a lot over the course of his career. And all he really needs is Rodgers to give him that look, and we're good to go. You know, a couple plays of that, I think we're going to get at least wide receiver 3 production. So initial rankings, and remember, initial, just the start to the week, I have him at wide receiver 28. So mid-range to front-end wide receiver 3. If we get news he's playing the full game, he's going to move up. You know, but for now, that's where I am on that one. Aaron Rodgers is dealing with an ankle issue, but he's going to play as well, that coming out just a few minutes ago, in fact. Now, as far as Garrett Wilson, I do think at least this week, Garrett Wilson is worthy of being ahead of Davante Adams in rankings. I don't think that's going to stick going forward, but that's, I think, where we are this week. So I have him tentatively at wide receiver 20. And again, if you check this, say you're listening to this on Wednesday night, early Wednesday afternoon here when I'm recording, maybe you'll see rankings are different. They're always updating. So that's what happened. You literally have to be listening to this live to get the current ranking. And you can't do that because this is a pre-recorded podcast. So just keep that in mind, because sometimes people will be like, hey, the rankings are different than what you said on the pod. And that's why, because I updated. And this week I've already updated about a dozen times and rankings haven't even been up for 24 hours. So it's been an intense week, no doubt about it. But yeah, you can still use Garrett Wilson. Now, I'm aware that a lot of people have Garrett Wilson and Davante Adams now on the same team. And I want to be clear about like this correlation concept. So a negative correlation is when you have typically, it'll be teammates and they are typically not correlated to fantasy production. So classic one would be a running back and a wide receiver. If the running game is working, chances are you're not going to get a lot of production fantasy-wise out of the passing game. Like, you may be okay, but it's not going to be enormous. So you limit the capability of your roster by doing so. You know, same thing running back and quarterback. You would have those guys slightly negatively correlated. So it's something I like to avoid in drafts. It's a draft concept. Now, if you have two wide receivers on the same team, it's not necessarily optimal unless they're very good wide receivers on the same team. So for example, if you had AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, you can get away with starting those guys basically every week. Obviously, when they're healthy. I know they weren't healthy here recently, but they were this past week, and they were both very good options. That's what this scenario is for me. It's not a running back and wide receiver, and I know that you might have Breece Hall and Devontae Adams. I realize that. That's not necessarily optimal. Let me talk about that in a minute. But let's say you have Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams. What is the move? I know what your instinct tells you. Your instinct tells you you have to trade one of those guys away. But I've noticed the more and more I follow what you guys do, the players, the more and more I see the instinctual play is the wrong play or is the problematic play. Maybe not necessarily all instances is wrong, but I do think there, yeah, maybe there's some truth to what I'm saying there anyway, because if everybody has the same reaction, then it's probably not the best reaction. Now, there are going to be some instances where, yeah, duh, it's going to be the best reaction. Like, everybody wants to start Lamar Jackson. Okay, duh. But I'm saying in instances like this, if you have that thought, then chances are all of your opponents are going to have that thought, which means you, let's say you want to try and sell Garrett Wilson. You're not selling him at value. You're going to have to take a hit to get rid of him. I don't think anybody is necessarily down on Devontae Adams, but I also know that his value could end up being a lot higher than it is currently. So in both instances, it doesn't make sense. Like if you really wanted to get rid of both of them, then wait until at least after this week and hope like one of the two has a big game or both of them, and then you have your options open. I still don't think it's necessary though. Where I don't want two wide receivers on the same team is more where they're back in like wide receiver 3/4 territory. Like, let's say, here's a great example. Christian Kirk and Brian Thomas. I don't want them both on the same team, not because of correlation. It's because I'm going to have essentially a start-sit dilemma with those guys every week. I'm going to have to figure out which one I'm going to put in my starting lineup, because chances are I'm not putting both in my starting lineup just based on where they're typically ranked. That means we open up the possibility of making the wrong decision. And if you are anything like me, when you have instances like that, you make the wrong decision every time. In other words, let's say you start Thomas. Well, that'll be the week Christian Kirk goes off and he'll be on your bench. The next week you're like, screw that, I'm playing Kirk, and Brian Thomas goes for 150 and two scores on your bench, right? That's where I don't want it. But when it comes to Garrett Wilson and Devontae Adams, like going forward, they're both top 25 guys. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, let's get to Breece Hall, though. Let's say you have Breece Hall and now Devontae Adams. What do you do in this instance? Well, negative correlation is a draft concept. Don't draft for negative correlation. You didn't make any mistakes here. This is just how this worked out. You don't necessarily, you know, this isn't like negative correlation scenario, because honestly, you probably drafted pretty darn well. And weirdly enough, this kind of worked out to your benefit. Now, if you ultimately do not feel comfortable rostering both going forward, probably the more tradable of the two, just given the nature of the positions, is Adams, but I would want to get back a wide receiver one for him. I don't know if that's possible. So you may have to kind of stay the course for a little bit or stay the course for the long term. I know it's not optimal, but there are worse things in the world. And certainly in fantasy football, with the Jets trending up right now, now I have a tough matchup this week, but they are trending up. I don't think it's the worst thing. So that's going to have to kind of evolve, but rushing to it right now, you're going to get screwed very likely in almost every scenario. And I don't like those speculative trades. Usually those work out very poorly for the person who's trying to trade players away. Now let's get over to Amari Cooper. So obviously he's going to the Buffalo Bills now, or he's officially a Buffalo Bill. And that solves a major problem for the Bills. Josh Allen had basically no receivers. His number three receiver, technically by the depth chart, was his top target, Khalil Shakir. And if you don't believe me that Shakir is the number three receiver, he comes off the field in two wide receiver sets. So he's the number three. And they do run a lot of two wide receiver sets because they have two tight ends that they can put on the field in Dawson Knox and Dalton Kincaid. He's the number three. The problem is your number one probably should have been your number two, and your number two probably should be your number five. Your number one was Keon Coleman. I like him as a number two. Your number two was Mac Hollins. And I love Mac Hollins from a vibe standpoint. He's got that aura about him, but not as your number two receiver. So now you take Hollins, you move him back to being your four or your five. Good. Good depth to have. He'll give you a few quality reps every single week. You just don't want him out there every down. You put Amari Cooper into that. He's your clear number one. Now you moved Keon Coleman to the number two spot, which is probably more beneficial for his development anyway. You give Josh another weapon that he didn't have. And Amari Cooper, while he may not be a spring chicken, is far from toast at this point in his career. I know the season didn't work out particularly well to start out, but he did flash at points. He had a very long, like the classic long Amari Cooper touchdown. He had that called back a few weeks ago. He did have a two-touchdown game against the Giants. He's still got some upside here, and it's not like he's a 1,000 years old either. For the Bills, it makes a ton of sense. He's at the end of his deal, so if this doesn't work out long-term, he goes to free agency. But short-term, this is a 4-2 team, was missing a key piece there, and now they add the piece. Like, much credit to that organization for making this move. For Amari Cooper, you had a guy who was a volatile risk-reward wide receiver three in Cleveland, now become a high-ceiling wide receiver two in Buffalo. I like that. No impact on Dalton Kincaid. Dalton Kincaid is still a top 12 startable, weekly startable tight end. I have met tight end nine for this week. Oh, by the way, as far as Cooper is concerned this week, before I get to anybody else. It is a little tricky because we don't know how much involvement he's going to have. I think it's clear, like, Adams is at least going to be involved somewhat. We don't know yet with Cooper, and I'm not saying we won't know. I just think we have to wait and see as we move through the week. I am tentatively ranked at wide receiver 45, but that's an early ranking that is definitely a hedge. Like, I don't have much information right now, and as we move through the week, I will get more information. I'll get a better sense of where he should be ranked. So this is a stay tuned. Obviously, if you have Cooper, this is kind of what you wanted. You wanted him to land in a much better spot because we figured he was probably going to get traded. So this is what you got. Now, Khalil Shakir does move down. I was already on the fence with him as it was because I knew there's no way that the production could be sustainable with his role. So I think we now have our clarity. I guess you could consider him somebody to keep on benches. I don't love that either because I don't think his role changes much. Otherwise, there's really not much there. Like, yeah, Keon Coleman, let's see what happens in Dynasty. Now let's move back over to Cleveland. It's a mess. Like, the team has to start Deshaun Watson because of the financial commitment. And Deshaun Watson has been one of the worst quarterbacks in football this season. So I don't know what you do there if you're Cleveland. I do know Nick Chubb is coming back this week. That's at least moderately exciting, but we have to see what it looks like first. I don't even have him in flex territory yet. I would love it to just be like, oh, he looks exactly like Nick Chubb, but I can't guarantee that yet. I know Jerome Ford is banged up as well. People have been asking me about Jerome Ford. I would say if you could trade him to the Nick Chubb manager, do it. You know, otherwise, you might be left holding the bag on that one. Hopefully, Chubb just is good for the rest of the season. But what about the backfill on Cooper? A lot of eyes pointing to Jerry Jeudy, and I think that's fair. Like, he could be a wide receiver three in bye weeks, but what are we really banking on? Like, because if Amari Cooper couldn't sustain wide receiver three value week in and week out, it was up and down, right? What makes us think Jerry Jeudy's going to? And then beyond that, like, Elijah Moore, like, these are like DFS options, but I'm not confident in those guys. And even Njoku to a lesser extent. When have we seen Njoku productive in this Watson era? It was when Joe Flacco was under center. Otherwise, he really hasn't been that productive. That's not to say he can't have the occasional big game, but in season-long fantasy football, we're looking for more consistency. So unfortunately there's not much doing. Tentatively, the initial rankings here on Jerry Jeudy, I have him at 43. So he's a flex-ish, maybe back-end wide receiver three when it's all said and done. For Njoku, I do have him as a top 12 guy, but we know it's volatile at the back end there. And as I mentioned, flex range for Nick Chubb, maybe if we get good reports through the week, he'll move. Well, he's a fringe flex. He'll move into being a solid flex if we get good reports through the week here on him. All right, let's move over to Cam Akers. I don't know why does Minnesota why do they keep trading for him? They did it again. Okay. Is this an indication, as the tinfoil hat people would suggest, that Aaron Jones is going to miss time? I don't know. I don't think so. I think this is an indication that they were really thin at running back behind Aaron Jones, and maybe it was Aaron Jones' injury that alerted them to that fact. They were probably well aware of it, but they had Ty Chandler and then Miles Gaskin, so they had Ty Chandler, and now they add in Cam Akers, who at least knows the offense. I think that's probably the key here. I don't have a practice report for Aaron Jones today, but that's all we can really do is we can wait for that practice report. And maybe before I stop blabbing on this episode of the podcast, I'll get one. If I do see one, then I'll go to it. But there's not much to see here at all on the Cam Akers front. I don't think there's a conspiracy. Maybe Jones doesn't play, but I doubt that's why they went out and got him. I think it's largely because they lacked depth. Depth is really key. Like, I preach it all the time about fantasy and how important it is and how it's so overlooked by most fantasy managers. But it's like, you know, it's very important to NFL teams to have at key positions. And when you look to their practice squad, they don't have much there. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this. Cleveland has four wide receivers on their active roster now. If you look to their practice squad, and like, let's say they go to their practice squad and that's where they want to sign somebody to the active roster because they need more than four. Do you know who their best option is? Kadarius Toney. Oh, boy. It's bad in Cleveland. And maybe they're just punting this season. I would think that Kevin Stefanski has a longer leash than one bad season. You never know. But I would think he has that. Maybe they're punting this season. Like, they screwed themselves so royally with the Deshaun Watson contract. Like, even if he was really good, his contract is still so atrocious for next year and the following year. It's okay for this year, believe it or not. But next year and the following year, it is horrendous. Like, maybe the worst contract in NFL history just because of those 2 years alone, regardless of his play. Regardless of his play, even if he was playing as like a really good starter, his contract is so bad. It eats up so much of the cap next season. It's ridiculous. Anyway, I digress. Russell Wilson. We don't know if he's starting yet. He has that door open. And if you're a Justin Fields apologist, just realize like fantasy is not reality. And even though the fantasy points have been good, the play has not. He's gotten progressively worse over the last 3 weeks, and that is what's opening the door here for Russell Wilson. Now, Russell Wilson will not have Justin Fields' mobility, but then again, not many quarterbacks in the NFL do. I'm not worried about the mobility. I'm worried about somebody who can move the offense effectively and ideally get George Pickens involved. So be prepared for that. I've tried to say it as many times as possible in my various platforms that Justin Fields was not safe. And his play opened that door up. So again, I'll talk more about that on the rant tomorrow and on Friday. Let me zip through a couple injury things here really quickly for you. So first and foremost, it does look like Malik Nabers is making some progress. Apparently, according to the beat, he has moved to the next step. I'm assuming that's step four in the concussion protocol. So if today goes down as a limited, if you're listening to this after the fact and you look at the Giants practice report and you see limited practice, that's good. Likely means full tomorrow. Likely means he plays this week, which is good to have him back against Philadelphia. Greg Allman, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for Fox Sports, said Rashad White should still be the number one running back. Now, I saw a lot of people go out and spend a buttload of money on Sean Tucker this week. Not a good idea because you still have Bucky Irving, and Tucker will be a little bit involved, but I mean, this backfield is just a mess at this point. If you picked up Sean Tucker, let's wait and see, but hopefully you didn't spend much money on him because he definitely was not worth the money. Tomorrow, we could potentially have Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed out. Olave's almost certainly out at this point, not practicing with concussion. So what about Shaheed? Not practicing with a knee issue. We could have Bub Means as the number one wide receiver with Spencer Rattler throwing him the ball. That is not how we drew this thing up. I think it'd be really risky to use anybody there in the passing game. Alvin Kamara would really be the only one worth using. We'll keep an eye on James Cook through this week. He has a chance to play. If he does not play, we saw what Ray Davis can be as a workhorse running back for that squad for the Buffalo Bills. So rankings will be adjusted accordingly. Jonathan Brooks is designated to return, but they're not rushing him back. And with the way that Chuba Hubbard has been playing, I don't see any reason for them to. I don't know how much of a roster spot Jonathan Brooks is worth. So if you've been holding out hope, unfortunately, these are the things that happen. Our evaluations change as play changes. And really, it was when Andy Dalton came in and the offense started moving a little bit, Chuba could do his thing a little bit more, and he's been decent in it. You know, he's playing the Rashad White. What Rashad White did last year for Dave Canales is what Chuba Hubbard is doing this year, and he's not bad at it. So we'll see there. One other quick one here. So Mike Williams, let me talk about the Chiefs just in general. Mike Williams is on the block, and the Chiefs could be interested. Who knows? But either way, they do have Juju Smith-Schuster playing the Rashee Rice role. Juju's a wide receiver three in that role for right now. I realize what he did before their bye, but that was one game. I do not like to get out over my skis on one game. We'll see how he does this week, and we'll move from there. I have him at wide receiver 35. Kareem Hunt is at RB 19. I do not think he played particularly well before the bye, based on what I was seeing. And I know the fantasy numbers were great, but it took him 27 carries to get there. His long carry for the day was 8 yards. So obviously there's a little bit of a concern there. And why I bring that up is Clyde Edwards-Helaire designated to return. I don't think it'll take him much to get back on the field, but it's going to be an interesting thing to monitor here. Much like I was apprehensive about Justin Fields, I'm apprehensive about Kareem Hunt in that backfield. So just proceed with caution if you have him. It's not. I saw a lot of people saying, yeah, should I capitalize and sell high? I don't think that was the worst idea if you happen to do that like last week during their bye. Anyway, that's going to do it for me today. Remember, Mike Randall does a Sunday night recap. You can catch that in this feed on this podcast every Monday morning. Real quick listen, some of the biggest takeaways from the day that was. And I'm on this on Wednesdays. Now I'm on my podcast, my solo podcast feed, on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. It's called The Rant with Jeff Ratcliffe. If you want to find it, easiest way to do it, go to my Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe or Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe and click on the link tree. And you can find that podcast on your podcast provider of choice, whether it's Apple, Spotify, etc. So go check that out. Otherwise, check out the website, ftnfantasy.com. I'll be back in this feed next week. So enjoy the football, and I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.